going to read three passages from the Word of God tonight. The first is found in John 3, and we're going to read that verse 16 that Stuart quoted in prayer. John's Gospel, and in chapter number 3. This verse 16, very precious verse to me, because it was that verse that my dad read to me that night that I got saved when I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Saviour. John's Gospel, chapter number 3. Read from verse number 14. And it says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." I'm going to read to you verse number 16 the way that my dad read it to me that night I got saved. "For God so loved William Clark that he gave his only begotten Son, that if William Clark should believe in him, he should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Mark's Gospel, please. In chapter number 2, Mark's Gospel this time, and in chapter number 2, it's going to read one verse, it's verse number 17, Mark chapter 2, verse number 17, and it says there, "When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, They that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And finally, in 1 Timothy, Paul's little letter, his first little letter to young Timothy. I think a war started and nobody's told us about it. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. In verse number 15, 1 Timothy 1 and 15, and it says there, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And the Lord will bless us tonight, these few verses from his own precious word. We've read tonight what God has to say with regard to sending his Son into the world. We've read tonight what the Lord Jesus Christ said with regard to him coming into the world. And we've read tonight what a convert, if you like, what the Apostle Paul has to say with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ coming into the world. There is a lot of misinformation today about why the Lord Jesus came into our world. A lot of misinformation that even comes from religious people. I heard recently a religious man saying that the reason that the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world was to be an example to other men and women. Well, to a great extent that is true. He is the perfect example. The man, Paul, that wrote to young Timothy that we were reading from tonight, he could often say, "Be ye followers of me." But he would qualify that by saying, "As I am of Christ Jesus." So the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed the perfect example, if you want an example to live your life by. But you know, I've discovered that when I try to live like the Lord Jesus, I find that the way that he lives his life condemns me. Because you see, I could never live up to the standard of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he's different from you and I. I personally, I know what I am. We were singing about it tonight in the second hymn. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. Lord Jesus Christ was never a sinner. The Lord Jesus Christ was sinless. He was holy. He was spotless. He was perfect. He could not sin. That's another thing that some religious leaders tell us today, that the Lord Jesus could sin. That's a lie from Satan himself. Lord Jesus could not sin. So the Lord Jesus Christ was completely different from you and completely different from me. He lived a perfect life. And so if I try to follow in his footsteps, I fail. Because you see, there is that in me, just as it's in you, that succumbs to sin. There seems to be that in our lives that would rather do wrong when we know we should do right. There's little children in the meeting tonight. And you remember when the staffer started to speak, and I'm just getting reminded of that again, having two young grandchildren. One of the first words that they learn to say is no. When their mum or dad say, you need to do this, or you need to go here, or you need to do... No. There is that determination within them to do the complete opposite of what they really should do. And that's the same in your life and the same in mine. When we know we should do good, we tend to do the opposite, don't we? There is that within us that tends to sin. And what is sin? Well, sin is that that offends God. Sin is that that God hates. Oh, God hates sin. But we're delighted to tell you this evening that God loves the sinner. He loves me, and he loves you. For God, so, oh, do you hear the intensity of it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that we were saying that men say came into the world to be the perfect example. And sure enough, he was the perfect example. But as I say, when we try to live our lives like that, we fail, and we fail miserably. Others tell us that the reason that the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world was to be a great preacher. Well, I tell you, there was never a preacher like him. It's recorded of him that never man spake like this man. Neither they did. Nobody else had the authority to speak like the Lord Jesus Christ, for he was God's only Son. It's said of him that never man did the things on this earth that this man did, and neither they did. Nobody could perform these wonderful miracles that the Lord Jesus performed. He was absolutely unique. Absolutely holy, as we've said. Absolutely sinless, perfect and pure. Great preacher. He was able to teach the people of his day things that they had never heard before. You see, there were men around at that time, religious men, who would take God's word and they would turn it and twist it to make it, well, just what they wanted to make it. Same happens today. People take the word of God and say, oh no, it really doesn't mean this. It means something else. But the great preacher, the Lord Jesus Christ, he spoke, as the Bible says, as the oracle of God, as the intellect of God. And if the Bible said it had to be done, the Lord Jesus preached and said it had to be done. If he said something had to be avoided, he preached and said it had to be avoided. He never deviated from the word of God, the perfect preacher. But I want to say to you tonight, these are two reasons that men give why the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world. But these are not the main reason why he came into the world. As I said, we read tonight from the Bible why God sent his Son into the world. We read tonight from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ why he himself came into the world. And we read why a convert says the reason that the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world. John chapter 3, verse number 18. It says, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. There's a negative. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. But, here's the positive, that the world through him might be saved. God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world. What is saved? This old world was condemned long, long before the Lord Jesus Christ came. This old world was condemned way back there in Eden's garden. You remember Eden's garden? God created that garden. Into the garden he placed Adam and eventually Eve. He provided for them. He planted trees, and every tree would provide fruit in its season. They wouldn't have to go hungry. There was an abundance of food for them to eat. God said to them, there is one tree, it's right in the middle of the garden, and he said, you must not eat the fruit of that tree. He said, the day that you eat the fruit of that tree, you will die. And Adam and Eve lived in harmony and in communion with God for, I don't know, many, many years, I think. And then one day into that garden came Satan, the devil, the subtle serpent. Came to Eve just as he comes to men and women today. And he persuaded Eve that if she partook of this fruit, she would be as God. And Eve took that fruit, and she ate it, and it was good to her taste. And she took that fruit to Adam, her husband. Try it. It's good. It's lovely. And Adam, knowing what he was doing, willfully partook of that fruit. He sinned. He disobeyed God. My dear friend, that's when this old world was condemned. For as by one man, the man Adam, sin entered the world, and death by sin. And death is passed upon all men, and that all have sinned. We've all sinned. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all offended God. We've all done that is wrong. And the terrible thing is that when we've done these things, we've actually known that we were doing wrong. We all know that it's wrong to lie, but yet people still lie. We all know that it's wrong to steal, and yet we steal. You know, I remember as a wee boy, I remember telling lies. I remember stealing. I remember getting out of my granny's purse and taking a wooden threepenny. The older folks will remember a wooden threepenny, because I wanted to go to the ice cream and got a cone. I took what was not mine. I had sinned. And that night, lying in my bed, 39 Kelso Avenue, Lismahago, all these things troubled me because I knew I had sinned and I knew I was not going to heaven. Because there was sin in my life. And I knew I had to get rid of that sin. That sin that was in my life. That sin that would take me to a lost eternity. I want to say this evening, I want you to listen carefully. Hell is a real place. Hell is not just a figment of somebody's imagination. Hell is not just a word that people use as a swear word. They think they're being clever. I tell you, if they knew a little bit about hell, they would never put it on their lips. Hell is an awful place. Lord Jesus talks about a man who, in his lifetime, had everything that he could ever wish for. And it says, he died. Oh, we're all going to die someday, for the wages of sin is death. And this man died, and the Bible says, in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, plural. And he said, oh, send somebody just to dip their finger in water, and that little drop of water, it'll cool my tongue. I'm in torments in this place. What was his other torment? His mind. Oh, in hell, my dear friend, you'll remember. If you should die without Christ as your Savior, you'll remember. And he remembered. He remembered his father. He remembered his brethren. And he said, oh, if somebody would only go and tell them not to come to this terrible place. It's too late. Too late for him. And he was remembering. And I believe that there are people in hell tonight. And they're remembering. And they're remembering Sunday nights when they sat in the gospel hall in New Cumnock. And they're remembering listening to the message of the gospel. And they're remembering having an opportunity to trust Christ as their Savior. And they never. and they're in hell tonight, and they're there for eternity, forever and ever. And they're in torments. And they'll never, ever be released from that. Why? Because in their lifetime, they refused to trust Christ as their Savior. If you ever wish to be in heaven, you need to repent of your sin, that has offended God. And you need to believe that when he died there upon the cross, he was dying for your sin. And you need to put your faith and your trust in him for your eternal salvation. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. Condemned long, long before the Lord Jesus Christ came. But what does it say? Why did God send his Son into the world? That the world through him might be saved. My dear friend, I want to say to you, salvation is in a person. It's not in attending a church or a chapel or a gospel hall or a synagogue or whatever. It's not by taking into your hand beads and saying prayers. It's not by getting down on your knees and saying prayers. It's not even by picking up your Bible from time to time and reading it. It's not by good works. It's not by charitable giving. Salvation is in a person, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. It's not an optional extra for life. It's not like when you go to buy a car, you know, you've got your steering wheel and you've got your gear lever and you've got your handbrake and all the other things you need, and the salesman's trying to sell you something else. It's not like that. Salvation is a must. It's a must. You must be born again. So God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You need to be saved. The only way you'll ever be saved, my dear friend, is if you come as a guilty, hell-deserving sinner and put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Repent of your sin. Oh, you have to be not only sorry, but you have to be truly, truly sorry for your sin, so much that you'll turn your back on the old way of life, and you'll look to Christ upon the cross, and you'll place your faith and your trust in him for your salvation. And now you know what it must have been like to preach during the Blitz. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's what God is to say to us tonight. The reason why he sent his Son into the world. Not to condemn it, but that folks like me and folks like you must be saved. Then we read in Mark's Gospel chapter number 2, and in verse number 17, what the Lord Jesus Christ had to say about why he came into the world. He says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Oh, the Lord Jesus had been listening to what some of these religious people of the day had to say, and they thought that they were righteous. They thought that they, by the way they lived their life and the things that they did, would take them to heaven. There's many folks like that. Many folks like that. I, Stuart would know him, a farmer just stayed outside our village, Tommy Stewart, Dooley, we called him, and he told me himself that he knew he would be in heaven because he put a stained glass window in the back of the church in Kirtmuir Hill. He thought by doing that it would take him to heaven. I've known other people who have told me they were involved in this charity and that charity and the next charity, and I'll tell you, I commend them for that. I wish there were more people like them. But good works will never take us to heaven. Nor charitable givings. Salvation, as we say, is found in a person, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter how good you might think you are. The Bible says that our righteousnesses, our good points, as far as God's concerned, are just like filthy rags, something that you would discard, throw away. And there was men that day, and they thought they were religious. They thought that they, by their religious acts and beliefs, would get to heaven. The Lord Jesus says, I came not to call the righteous. They're self-righteous. Because the Old Testament scriptures taught them on many occasions, there is none righteous. No, not one. So, my dear friend tonight, I want to say kindly to you, if you're in the meeting tonight and you think you're a cut above the rest of us, you think that you're a good living person, a pillar of the community, I'm delighted that you're here, and I'm delighted that you do these kind of things. But I want to say to you, that will never take you to heaven. The Lord Jesus says, there's only one way to heaven. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, no woman, no boy, no girl comes to the Father but by me. I came not to call the righteous, but he says, I came to call sinners to repentance. And we've already said that the Bible is very, very clear. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have all sinned. We kid ourselves. Apostle John, he writes at the end of the New Testament, and he writes to some Christian friends, and he says to them, in modern day language, I'm putting this now, he says, look, you're kidding yourself. If you say you have no sin, you're kidding yourself. You're not kidding anybody else on. I know I'm a sinner, and you know I'm a sinner, and I know that you're a sinner, because the Word of God says it. And it was like for folks like you and me that the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You know, I can offend somebody by saying something about them or doing something against them. And they come to me and they say, look, you offended me by whatever you said or whatever you did. And I can say, oh, I'm sorry for that. I didn't really mean it. And a couple of days later, I can be speaking to somebody else and I say, you know, a couple of weeks ago I said such and such about so-and-so. And they came to me and said they were offended by that. And I apologized. And I can say something like, I don't know why I apologize, because they really are that kind of person. That's not really repentance, is it? We can say sorry till we're blue in the face, but unless we change, then we don't really have, we have not repented. We've got to be, as I said earlier, truly, truly sorry before God for the things that we've done in our life, for language that we've used, for substances we've taken, yet for places that we've gone, and for a host of other things. And we've got to realize that these things are not of God. These things are of Satan. And these are the things that are taking us to a lost eternity, to hell and to the lake of fire. And so, not only have we to be sorry, as I've already said, we have to be truly, truly sorry, we have to be converted, and we have to say, I'm turning my back on these things of the world, and I'm going to look to Christ and the cross, because he's the only one that can change my life. I'm sure I've said it here before, but when I was at school, I did say it here before, but I'll tell you the story again. When I was at school, well, still am the most horrible writer you ever saw. My mother used to think I was going to be a doctor, but, well, she was deluded. Couldn't write to save myself. Spelling is atrocious. And we had a teacher, Mrs. Barr, and I thought she was absolutely wonderful. And she would say, your writing's bad, you'll need to improve your writing. So I would turn over a new leaf, and I would take my pencil and get it nice and sharp, and oh, the first line was okay, and the second line wasn't too bad, the third line was a wee bit iffy, the fourth line, it was like the hen scraping the farmyard again. So I would turn over another new leaf, and I would start again. The same thing, and another new leaf, and another, and I could never change. And you get to that time of the year, don't you, coming up for New Year, and folks will say, well, it's coming up for New Year, I need to get my New Year resolutions written out. And they take the big full scrap sheet of paper, and they start, number one, I will stop doing this. Number two, I will start doing this. I will. So they've got the list of 20-odd New Year resolutions. Comes the 2nd of January, and that 20's down to 15. And it comes the 4th of January, and that 15's down to 10. And it comes the 7th of January, and that tends down to 3. Ah, well, forget it for another year, and you throw it aside. You see, in our own strength, we will never change. We will never change. I don't know anybody who in their own strength has changed. But I know lots of people whose life have been changed by the power of God. By people who have come, who have repented of their sin, who have been converted, turned their back in the old way of life, and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into their hearts and into their lives, and to take control of the situation. And I tell you, that's the only way that you'll change your life. You can try this, that, and the other until you're blue in the face. But without Christ in your life, there'll be no difference. None whatsoever. So the Lord Jesus Christ says, I came not to call the righteous, because there's none righteous. No, not one. But he says, I came to call sinners to repentance. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Look what the Apostle Paul says when he writes to young Timothy in chapter number 1 and verse 15. He says, this is a faithful saying. It's worthy by all to be accepted, that Christ Jesus, sorry, I've lost my place here, sorry. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Here's the reason. The main reason that the Lord Jesus Christ came, to save sinners. To save people like you and people like me. How can he save us? Well, you see, we've already said that he was holy. He was sinless. He was spotless and pure. And he was the one who was able to go to the cross. There, nailed hand and foot to that cross. What he endured, the hymn writer has said, no tongue can tell. To save our souls from sin and hell. And there, nailed to that cross, after men had done their evil, wicked worst to him, there was 3 hours of darkness. And during these 3 hours of darkness, the Bible says that God made to meet upon him the iniquity of us all. Don't ask me to explain that to you. I can't fully explain that to you. All I can tell you is that what you deserve to suffer eternally because of your sin, the Lord Jesus Christ suffered there on the cross. He suffered for me and he suffered for you there on the cross. It's the reason he came into the world, to die for sinners, to put away sin and that forever by the sacrifice of himself. You see, no other person but the Lord Jesus Christ can save us. I couldn't save you. And there's nobody else in this room can save you. And I don't care who the person is in our country or in our world, from the queen on the throne to the pauper in the street, they can't save you. They all need to be saved. Why can't they save you? Why can't I save you? Because I'm a sinner. And one sinner could never take away the sin of another. The Bible says, no man could redeem, pay the price that God demanded for the soul of a sinner. No man could redeem his brother or give to God a ransom for the soul. Only one person could do that, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why he came into the world, to save sinners. To save me, and to save you. Now you might be saying tonight, well, you know, you don't really know me. I have lived a terrible life. I've engaged in every sin that's possible. God could never save me. Well, look what the Apostle Paul says. He says, I'm the chief of sinners. He says, there was nobody any worse than me. He says, do you know what I did? He says, I took the Christians and I bound them in chains and I took them to be put to death. I persecuted the church of God. But yet he says, God saved me. My dear friend, I don't care who you are or what you are tonight. How good a sinner you might think you are, or how bad a sinner, I want to tell you, God loves you. Christ died for you, and you can be saved. So remember tonight what God has to say to us. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. He was condemned way back there in Eden's garden. But God sent his Son into the world that sinners might be saved. The Lord Jesus says, I came not to call the righteous, because there's none righteous, there's none good, no, not one. But he says again, I came to call sinners. And Paul, he could say, look, I know the reason that the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world. He says, he came to save sinners. He came to save me. My dear friend, I want to say to you, and it's maybe hypothetical, but I want to say to you, this is the reality of the fact. If you had been the only sinner in the world, it would still have meant that God would send his son to die on the cross for you. That's how much he loved you. That's how much he loves you. And tonight, if you'll only repent of your sin and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll save you. He'll take away your sin. He'll give you a new type of life. Choice is yours. But remember, time is short. Eternity is sure. And if you should die without Christ as your Savior, like that rich man who in his lifetime gave no thought or consideration for God, you'll arrive in hell. And that for all eternity, shall we pray. Our Father, we bow in thy holy presence and give thee thanks for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that he loved us so much that he left the splendors of glory, knowing his destiny. 'Twas the rugged hill of Golgotha where he laid down his life for thee. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Our Father, we thank thee that there is a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that stands open for all to come in, that Calvary's cross is where we begin when we come as a sinner to Jesus. And we pray, our Father, that tonight, if there's any in our company who up until this moment in time have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, that tonight will be the night when they'll come repentantly, put their faith in Christ and trust him for salvation. We give thee thanks for thy word. We commit it to thee. Pray thy blessing upon it. Part us now, our God. We pray with thy blessing. Take us to our respective homes in safety as we come in and commend ourselves to thee in the Saviour's own worthy and precious name. Amen. Thank you very much.